com. You can always listen online as well. The Glass in the Morning radio program, the morning after IU basketball. We bring in Joe Smith live on the telephone. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Glassman. How we doing?
Well, we're good. Back
first
to
first day of the new month.
It is. We've put 11 of them in the books. One more to go. It's only, again, 24 days until Christmas Eve. Time flies when we're having fun. Heck, high school basketball starts on Friday. That means we're knee-deep in it, Joe. Maui is over. The month of November is over. The Hoosiers end on a winning note. It was against Alcorn State. I don't think anybody expected anything less. But it is the morning after Hoosier Hoops with Joe Smith live on WGCL.
Well, it was like we had hoped it would be, and that was total domination against an outmanned team in Alcorn State Monday night. The undermanned Braves thrown at the feet of the Hoosiers of Coach Tom Rehling coming in from not-so-good Maui memories. But we have had enough samplings this year. When things go right, are done with efficiency, good things come as a return, and that's what we had last night in that 112-70 blowout of the Braves, and all of that that we saw will be needed and maybe a lot more Wednesday night at 7th-ranked Duke in the 2015 edition of the Big Ten ACC Challenge, which begins tonight for four of our clubs, Michigan, Purdue, Ohio State, and 2nd-ranked Maryland, playing games to get this thing rolling for 2015. Back to last night, the assist-to-turnover ratio was 2-1, which was better. 24 and 12 were the numbers, only four TOs. In the second half, in the quartet of James Blackman Jr., Troy Williams, Rob Johnson, and Yogi Farrell, dotted with 14 turnovers the last time we played against UNLV on the island of Maui. Well, they had only four total last night, so that's a little progress. One of those in the zone nights for James Blackman Jr., a career high 33, the most by a Tom Crean era player since Smoke Creek dumped 31 on Kentucky his freshman year a few years ago. James was dialed in from the get-go, 11 of 15, hit 6 of 9 from behind the line, didn't miss any of his five free throws, had four steals, three rebounds, two assists, and he even blocked a shot Monday night. Blackman scored 8 of Indiana's first 12. The Hoosiers got away on a 15-2 run. They held the Braves scoreless the first 3:48 of the game, and this one was over. For a second time this season, 6 finished in double figures. The Hoosiers shot a season's best, 67%, after a 73% opening first 20 minutes in which they missed only 7 of 26 shots. The Hoosiers, after getting outboarded the first half, even though leading by as many as 20 two different times, firmed things up on the glass the second half with a 23-9 advantage and won the Battle of the Boards by 11. All of this, and maybe even more, as I say, as they now move into Cameron Indoor Stadium Wednesday night, 9:15 on ESPN against the 6-1 Blue Devils of Coach K. 112-70 over Alcorn State Monday night. Hoosiers now move to Durham with a record of 5-2. Well, December brings high school girls hoops to tonight's menu. North looking for its second win of the year, hosting Columbus East at 7:30. South has unbeaten Seymour. The Lady Owls come in 7-0 this evening on the home court at 7:30. Panthers of Larry Winter snapped a three-game losing streak last out. Seymour won a three-point overtime thriller last year, so South trying to return the favor tonight with the upset against unbeaten Seymour starting at 7:30. In the pool, Edgewood senior Katie Bryan in on four event wins as Erica Musselwhite's Mustangs drubbed West Vigo to start its work week, 127-51. The boys lost 121-65. Senior Kyle Run won the 200 free and 100 breaststroke, and freshman diver Jacob Shunk won the diving off the one-meter board for the Mustangs.
And Joe, a busy day in football yesterday as well for the Hoosiers as the Big Ten was giving out postseason awards. They did the defense live on the airwaves last night right before they threw it over to the Assembly Hall for a 7 p.m. broadcast of Indiana-Alcorn State. They'll do the offense tonight, but Griffin Oaks was named the Backen Anderson Kicker of the Year in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The first Hoosier to do so before they had all these fancy named awards when they went to two conferences. Austin Starr won first team Big Ten All Accolades back in 2007. So, again, Joe, you get to a bowl, you get a little extra frosting on top of that cake. And five Indiana defensive players also received honorable mention, including
Griffin Oaks, well-deserved. You know, he had that streak of 11 in a row going until he missed that 33-yarder Saturday. But that said, you know, he kicked 11 straight, 22 on the season and counting going into game 13 now.
That's a record, buddy.
Yeah, but, you know, so...
He's 22 of 25 on the season.
Yeah.
That's 88%. That's awfully... Yep. Awfully good. And he's first in field goals, tied for second in points after touchdown, and third in points on IU single season list. So it just shows you what a great season he had. Darius Latham, Nick Mangieri, Marcus Oliver, Mitchell Page, and Zach Shaw all received honorable mention, either from the coaches, media, or both. Yesterday, so we'll get more, accolades today, starting with the quarterback position. I hope Nate Sudfeld is considered.
Well, I would think number seven would be, right up there with the best of them in the league, because I personally think he's playing as well as anyone in the league at quarterback.
Yep, but you know how that usually works, Joe. The victors get the spoils,
that.
But I hope Nate is recognized more than honorable mention, because as we've mentioned, he deserves more than that. We'll talk a little more basketball in segment number two. We'll get inside the box score and talk about whose performances stuck out for you, what Indiana needs to work on before seeing a ginormous step up in class. Duke, let's put it this way, Joe. If people thought Wake Forest and UNLV were good, they're going to get a little taste of a different level of good tomorrow night.
Well, they're going to get it from two different angles. The atmosphere of the Cameron Indoor Stadium, for one, and then Coach K's young team. Remember now, this is a ball club with seven freshmen on it.
Yeah, but they're all McDonald's All-Americans.
Well, you threw that in there.
Well,
fair.
It is. It is. Yeah. It is. It is. And all the guys that came back from last year are McDonald's All-Americans. They don't rebuild. They reload, and they are loaded again. But the Hoosiers have an opportunity, Joe, and they should be excited for all that.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that coming up at 8:45.
Sounds good.
Heck, Joe, I should have played this island music for you last week when you were in Maui.
Yeah, you should have.
But with the forecast we have, starting Friday, 7 days in a row above 50, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all sunshine as well. So not a bad start to the 12th month.
No. Hey.
And we're going to have a good start to the month, too, as you're going to be with us the first 5 days as well. That's exciting to hear.
Yeah, it's one of those odd weeks, you know, with what all has been going on and all the travel and everything. So only thought it was fitting to join you tomorrow live after we get into Durham tonight and, check out, see what's in the papers down there and, you know, how they kind of view, you know, where they are. Duke, I'm talking about. I know where they are. They're 6-1 and they're 7th ranked, but... So,
their only loss
tough to beat at home.
Is the number one Kentucky on a neutral court a couple weeks ago in that made-for-television event at the United Center. So Duke will be the focus tomorrow. The focus for the rest of this morning is a trip inside last night's box score, and an expansive one it was. When you get up to 112 points, a lot of good things happen as well. James Blackman Jr.'s 33 points, obviously one of the highlights, Joe, but the Hoosiers' second-half turnover number was much, much better. The second-half rebounding was better. It looked like Indiana just wore down a team. To be fair, that's just not very good. And the result was expected. Tell us what you saw inside the box score that caught your eye on a 112-70 cakewalk for the Hoosiers.
Well, as Coach Tom told us post-game Monday night, a game to build on. Well, it was that, and then maybe more than that, because, the road ahead will demand the Hoosiers play their collective best as they invade the Cameron Indoor Stadium down in Durham, North Carolina, and the 7th-ranked Duke Blue Devils tomorrow night in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. The Hoosiers built two 20-point first-half leads, went away from there and hid, leading by as many as 47 and winning eventually 112-70 over Alcorn State, shooting a season-best 67%. But we wanted to see improvement in a couple of areas that we'll take note of here. The Hoosiers entered last night's game shooting 62% from the free throw line on the year. Well, that improved. 76% last night. They hit 12-16 in the second half. The Hoosiers ended up on the right side of the turnover points, getting 26 off of the Braves' 13 mistakes. The Hoosiers had only four TOs themselves in the second half, rolling up 59 second-half points. Defense to offense, well, the break was clicking to the tune of 27 points. Why? Well, nine different players had at least one assist on the night. Robert Johnson led the way with six, as Coach Tom reinserted him to the starting lineup, and he responded with 22 solid minutes. He had 12 points, 3 steals, 3 rebounds. He and Yogi combined for 25 points and 11 assists. And then the other guard, James Blackman Jr., that career best 33, but not in the official box, the career best 15 deflections for James that Coach Tom pointed out to us postgame. Well, the Hoosiers had six, wound up with six in double figures Monday night. The balance returned. So all the positives were negatives in Maui were earned against, well, an outmanned club last night in Alcorn State. But now the Hoosiers have righted the ship a bit, improved in key departments. So now, literally, the challenge to sustain the positives against the defending national champions tomorrow night, 9:15 tip on ESPN. It'll be the stiffest challenge of the year, and all the components that we just touched on will be vital in the Hoosiers' quest to knock off one of college basketball's best traditional bunches in the Duke Blue Devils. It'll take a collective effort, and we'll see if the Hoosiers can sustain and deliver and move forward.
Big swing in opponent, Joe, here in 72 hours.
Well, that's the key. Huh?
You go from one of the, a program that's struggling to a program that defines the elite of college basketball. And you knock the rust off the Maui travels. You knock the turkey off as well. But the one thing that we did learn in Maui, Joe, it's the friendly confines of Assembly Hall is one thing. We need to see the show on the road. And again, this will be the fourth test for that. But you talked about free throw shooting in your home gym. You've seen enough basketball to know most teams shoot it better at home. That's not surprising. But I think the shot selection and getting to the foul line will be just as important on Wednesday as it will in any game.
Well, it will indeed. They shot 25 free throws last night, and yeah, it's key, but Indiana has shot poorly at home from the free throw line. I mean, that's a collective aggregate going into that game last night, 62%, and that is just terrible. I mean,
yeah.
That is just way substandard. I don't care if you shoot 25 or 5. I mean, you've got to hit them. And they began to fall last night. And, yeah, you're right, hitting them on the McCracken court is one thing. Hitting them at the Cameron Indoor Stadium is another. But getting the opportunity to do that, that means that you're doing some good things offensively to run your offense be it on the break or break it down in the half court and see what happens. We'll see how Duke plays things tomorrow night.
And we know Duke's going to be tough. We know Duke has balance. We know Duke has talent.
That's why I talked about the balance. Our balance had to return. Yeah, you had a guy that had a career high, the most points ever scored in the Tom Crean area in JB last night. But that being said, he had five of his mates also score in double figures. So when Indiana has that balance, it doesn't really matter, who does the scoring as long as the ball goes in, and it did last night. But some guys got, their feet back on the ground, so to speak, and kind of each individually kind of righted their game. And we'll see where that takes us tomorrow night. It was good to see that the three guards shot, a collective 21 of 29 from the field between Blackman, Johnson, and Farrell. So,
yep. Can the show go on the road? That's going to be the that'll be the one that folks are looking for to translate as well. Everybody's going to have to rebound against the Blue Devils. We know that as well. Last night, Wake Forest beats Rutgers at Rutgers by a point. Minnesota beat Clemson, so the Big Ten ACC Challenge is up and running. Splitsville to get things going, and big games tonight with some of the heavy hitters involved, including Maryland, North Carolina, Virginia, Ohio. Boy, Ohio State's lost three games in a row, Joe.
Yeah,
Purdue's
struggling.
Pittsburgh.
Like
we'll take a look at the Boilermakers tonight and their big front court that's been giving a lot of folks some problems. And we got some girls basketball tonight here locally.
Yeah, we do. A couple of games going on to kick off December. Bloomington North and South both are at home. The Panthers with an opportunity to kind of right the ship. They were on a little three-game losing streak. They'll be out to even up tonight, hosting unbeaten Seymour. They come in 7-0, that game at 7:30, and then Jason Spear's group will look for win number two. They're hosting Columbus East a little bit later tonight. And, of course, our high school lid lifter, our tip-off game as far as our broadcast schedule is concerned, 14 games up on our website, WGCLradio.com, B&L Fieldhouse. Friday night, 7:30 tip of the Stars and J.R. Holmes, 17th-ranked South Panthers, coming off the loss to the newly elevated number one in New Albany the other night. They got lost a tough one there in the fourth quarter, 72-68. So we'll kick off things with Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock on Friday night from B&L.
And last night on the airwaves, it came down to the final play. You thought overtime or a Cleveland victory would be the two most likeliest outcomes.
Been a lot of bizarre plays, haven't there, this year?
Reality television is, on the sporting world, there is no script. And it's, if you're Keith and you go to bed too early, if you stayed up that late, stay up for one more play, you don't know what's going to happen. But 27-27, time's getting ready to expire. Cleveland's getting ready to kick a field goal and win on their home field, give their fans a happy goodnight. Good night, kiss. The Ravens block it and run it back for a touchdown as time expires. You can't make it up, Joe, because nobody would buy the script. And if you didn't stay up till 11:49 last night, you wouldn't have seen it. And Baltimore and John Harbaugh get a victory last night right here on the airwaves. Congratulations to Griffin Oaks. He is the Big Ten Kicker of the Year, the first Hoosier to do so since Austin Starr back in 2007.
You remember Jim Bakken and Morton Anderson, don't you?
Well, Morton Anderson I do, because he kicked for the Saints for 57 years.
Well, Bakken used to kick for Wisconsin.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't think I pronounced his name correctly.
It's
The Big Ten has done a disservice to everyone by naming every award with two names.
Every award. Well, I'm glad to see that one went to a Hoosier.
See, that's exactly right. And the defense was honored yesterday. Five Hoosiers on the honorable mention, including Nick Mangieri, Zach Shaw, Darius Latham, Mitchell Page named as a returner, and who am I missing, Joe?
Oliver.
And Marcus Oliver, 100 tackles. First guy with 100 tackles in 6 years for the Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Offense gets a name tonight live on the Big Ten Network starting around 6 o'clock. Golden State's undefeated. That's 19 wins in a row for the Warriors to start the new year. They play the Pacers, I believe, a week from tonight in Indianapolis. So if you want to go up there and see Steph Curry and the gang. Pacers finished the November, Joe, 11-2. Paul George, your Eastern Conference Player of the Week. How about that?
Yeah, he's on fire.
Now, against Duke, Joe, things are going to get tougher. We'll do a preview tomorrow morning live from Durham. Indiana gave up plenty of points to a team that wasn't very good on Monday night. The defensive effort is going to have to exponentially grow against better competition. And we would hope the Hoosiers rise to the level of – heard the guys talk in the postgame about how excited they are. This is why they come to IU to play in games like this. It has to translate on the court on national TV tomorrow.
Yeah, no question about it. So we'll see how things go in practice today and the shoot around tomorrow morning, and we'll go from there and hope for the best.
And we'll hear all about it live right here tomorrow morning, 7:45 and 8:45, live from Durham with Joe Smith. Joe, safe travels, my friend. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning from Tobacco Road.
Looking forward to it. See you, Glass.